WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. The new comedy TV show Mad About You has been described as Seinfeld Gets Married. It follows Seinfeld on NBC Wednesday nights, and like Seinfeld, the show has a minimal storyline. Instead, it focuses on the little things in life that have a way of drawing out the character's obsessions. Mad About You was created by stand-up comic and actor Paul Reiser. He's also the producer and one of the writers. He says he wanted to do a show where nothing really happens, but it's funny. Reiser stars as Paul Buckman, a documentary filmmaker. Helen Hunt plays his wife Jamie, who's in PR. Besides doing stand-up, Reiser has appeared in the films Diner and Aliens. He's also co-starred in the TV series My Two Dads. Mad About You takes place in New York. The couple have been married only a few months and are still getting to know each other. Before we hear Terry's interview with Paul Reiser, let's play a scene from the show. In this scene, Paul and Jamie are going to the circus by subway. Paul avoids the station near their apartment because the guy selling the tokens is someone from his past he doesn't want to see.
Stop acting like a child. Do you want to miss the circus?
No.
So?
So buy the tokens.
The guy probably isn't here, and even if he is, what's the big deal?
Is it a huge thing I'm asking you to do? Love, honor, and buy the tokens.
There is something you're not telling me.
No, there's nothing.
What is happening here?
Nothing. I don't want this guy blaming me for his life.
What possible reason could he have for blaming you?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he's bitter. Maybe he's jealous of me. I don't know. Maybe both our senior projects were due on the same day, but I got to the editing room 5 minutes earlier, so I got the good movie, Olin, and Howie showed up, and he got mad, and he never finished his film, and he dropped out of school, and he ended up here. Maybe.
So you're saying you've been guilty all these years because you were a more conscientious student?
Yeah.
You're incredibly neurotic and incredibly sweet.
And incredibly late, so please go by the tokens.
No, what are you going to avoid the subway the rest of your life?
No, just the station.
You're one of the writers on the show. Do you write from your life? Do you take things that have happened to you?
No, I call up Seinfeld and stuff that he didn't use yet. I sort of pick up the scraps. Yeah, I wrote the pilot, the first episode, with my partner, a guy named Danny Jacobson. And the original idea that I brought to him came out of my life, and it came out of my stand-up. My stand-up act was more and more becoming stuff about relationship and marriage, and I realized that that was the stuff that I enjoyed doing the most, and that was getting the purest and best response from the audience, and it helped me focus in on what I thought the show could be. If I were to do a show, what I'd want it to be. And so since we've been doing the show, you know, everybody keeps a journal. It's like, oh boy, here's something that happens happens at home, and you can't wait to bring it in. We're writing one now that it's absolutely little fragments of stuff that I've brought in from home, but everybody else adds their fragments, so it becomes a conglomeration, and the names have been changed to protect the guilty. So, you know, if anybody goes, wow, is that what your wife said? I go, no, that was Danny's wife. That was somebody else's wife. You know, right. So you never have to really, it's not really autobiographical, but it certainly comes out of pieces of our lives.
So this journal that you're keeping, and that everybody else is keeping, that ideas come out of, have you kept such a journal before, like for your stand-up comedy?
Yeah, it's sort of the same process. It's sort of the same process that you go, as a writer, as a comedian, you always keep a notebook. I used to say that was really the difference between a comedian and the audience person. You know, when you go on stage and you say something, they laugh because they go, oh boy, that happens to me too. So you have the same experiences. The only difference is I wrote them down. And I brought it up. You know, otherwise, we're in the same boat. That's why the comedy works, because we're in the same boat. So, I've always been keeping a note and jot things down that make me laugh. But what's really fun about this show is that the entries in the journal can be much smaller. You know, the moments can be very tiny, because the show is designed in a way that you can throw in a tiny moment where something that will work in the show might not work as a whole stand-up bit. For example, we did a scene that I loved a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if did it air yet. Yeah, it did. About we're getting ready for bed, and I, as I come over to the bed, I realize that she's on my side of the bed, And it just becomes this thing of, what are you doing? You're on my side of the bed. And she's going, well, I thought I'd try something different. And of course, to which my response is, why? Why would you do that? And just, there was a little tiny soft scene that I thought was really, that worked for me. And it was just, we have a certain rules here. I sleep on this side, you sleep on that side. And if you change it, you're going to throw me.
What's something that you wrote down in the journal yesterday or today?
When I wrote down something yesterday. Oh, I was talking to somebody about, there are things, there are skills and parts. There are skills that men have and parts of men's brains that they have that they just shut off once they mate, once they couple. For example, I remember when my wife, before we were married, when we lived together and she moved in, somehow I totally surrendered knowledge of where things were in the house. So we were together 3 months and someone came over and said, do you have an ashtray? And I remember standing in the middle of the living room, absolutely clueless as to where one would be. I go, it's in a drawer. And I realized when I lived by myself, I knew exactly where the ashtrays were. And somewhere, unbeknownst to me, I had just surrendered this information and said, you'll be in charge of these kind of things now. And someone was telling me that their father was a great cook, but his wife, my friend's mother, never knew it. He stopped cooking. Once she was around, he kind of said, well, you kind of do that for me. And I thought it was very funny, you know, how men are, I think, predisposed to being lazy and being taken care of. And it's not a particularly attractive characteristic, but I think it's one that comes out. And so the idea that a guy who knows how to cook and just won't until he's left alone, and then we'll suddenly go, okay, I'll have to cook. And she walks in and go, I didn't know you know how to do that. It's like, well, yeah, it was a little secret.
Now, your character is, fairly neurotic on the show.
I beg your pardon?
And in real life, you're married to a psychotherapist.
That's right. And she's out of her mind.
It seems like a pretty good match.
You would
professionally,
think that.
Yeah.
You would think that, but I, over the many years that I've been with my lovely bride, I've never really shared anything open or honest about myself. So she's not able to really gauge. She knows very little about me. I'm joking. What's fun about the show, truly, is that I wanted to avoid, and I hope I have, and I hope we've managed to do this, avoid making him, the husband or the wife, the neurotic one.
They both are, yeah.
They're both neurotic. They're both capable of, you know, I think that's what makes a marriage work, what makes any relationship work, really, is that one person can't be everything all the time. One person can't be in control all the time, and, you know, and together, and the other person can't be a basket case. And what really happens, I've kind of discovered, is that it fluctuates not only day to day, but minute to minute. You know, it's like, okay, the only reason I can really be obsessive for a minute is because you're taking care of everything else. You're getting us out of the house. And then 5 minutes later, we'll be in the car, and if she gets nutty about something, I have to be the one that says, okay, listen, calm down, I'll drive us. You know, I think it fluctuates minute to minute, and that's what is really fun about writing these characters, is we want to avoid making them really caricatures, but rather the really three-dimensional, fleshed-out people that have good days and bad days.
We're listening to an interview that Terry Gross recorded with comedian Paul Reiser. He stars in the new sitcom, Mad About You. We'll be back after this short break. This is Fresh Air. We're listening to an interview Terry recorded with comedian Paul Reiser.
You had previously starred in the TV series My Two Dads, and I'll get you to explain the premise of that show.
Again, she asked me, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't write that show. The premise of My Two Dads was two guys who had been buddies for years and actually hadn't spoken since college and were joined suddenly in a lawyer's office to find out that a child had been born about 12 years ago that was fathered by one of them, by a woman that they both went out with. And she dies and leaves us custody of this child to be raised by the two of us. So the question that hung over our heads is, why don't they take a blood test and find out who the real father is? To which my answer was, because then we got no show. Sometimes you have to bend the reality.
Well, that's about as far as you can get, in a way, from the series you're doing now, because this is about the small things of everyday life, whereas that was one of those like real preposterous premises.
Yep. Yeah, you know, which is fine, too. I don't really knock it, you know. Mork and Mindy was a very funny show. I didn't buy it. You know, I mean, you don't buy the premise. Nobody really lives with somebody from the planet Ork, but it's very funny. You know, Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley, very funny comedy. You know, even The Odd Couple, it's like, you know, it's a great comedy. You're going to tell me that Tony Randall couldn't have found another apartment by himself? It's like, sure, but then he got no show. So it was a different kind of show. But in the reality of it for me was that I by the end of that show, and even in the middle of that show, I was very anxious to do a show that didn't have any device, you know. When I was trying to come up with the idea of the show that I wanted to do, I started stripping away things I didn't want, and I didn't want any hook, and I didn't want, she's from France, he's from, you know, Portugal, they meet at the embassy, you know, like, there's nothing. There's, you know, I wanted no device.
Did you like Mighty Dad? Did you think it was a series you would have watched if you weren't in it?
Not really. I have to condition that. I loved going to work on that show, and I loved the people, and I learned a lot from it. But it wasn't really the show that I would have watched. But that's okay. You know, I it's funny. I came to terms with that. You know, about a year into it, I said there are people who go to work and manufacture things that they don't necessarily use in their home, and it doesn't make it wrong. So I thought once I let go of that, I said okay, I'm doing a show that a lot of people are enjoying. It wasn't really the show that I would watch or that my friends would watch, but there was also a lot of good writing in it. There's a lot of funny stuff in it. But the huge buy that you have to make is, well, there's a big premise here, and it's silly and it's goofy, and it wasn't a reality show. So despite all the good work, it was always sort of fighting itself because there was a lot of very funny stuff, and we all wanted to put in all this very clever, you know, and real-oriented stuff. In creating Mad About You, I was very conscientiously trying to design a show that that I did want to watch, that my friends would watch, that I would say, this is what I want to do. And it kind of makes it a lot easier when you do that, you know, when you're creating something. It makes it easier because then you're free of everything else. You know, I thought if it doesn't work or if they only buy two episodes of it, I'll be fine. I'd rather do two episodes of a show that I really dig than you know, 100 of something that I don't.
Now,
I'm sorry to have used the word dig in the middle of a hole.
Why do you think it is that stand-up comics are getting their own sitcoms? Richard Lewis, Jerry Seinfeld, yourself. It seems like, you know, in a couple of weeks, you know, all the evening shows will be hosted and, I mean, you know, starring and co-written by stand-ups. I don't think that's a bad thing.
No. It's, well, two things. One is they sort of... the networks, I guess, have...
I should mention Roseanne Arnold in there.
And Roseanne, of course, and Cosby and...
Right.
And Bill Cosby. I guess they came across that startling connection between comedy and funny. That if you get a funny person and you want to do a comedy, maybe we should get a comedian because they're traditionally funny. Firemen, wonderful people, not necessarily funny. So you don't see a lot of firemen in comedies. But you also don't see a lot of comics rushing to a three-alarm blaze. So everybody has their little job. But also, I think comedians, you know, write their own material, and they've spent years developing the craft of writing for themselves, which is a very specific thing. I know how to do very few things. I know how to write for myself. That's about the only thing I do know how to do. I don't know that I can write, you know, I couldn't write... E.T. I couldn't write a science fiction picture, you know, but I can write the kind of comedy that I do. So when a network goes to a comic, they're sort of buying a self-contained production entity. Here's somebody, he performs it, he has his persona,
right,
you know,
right,
and he can back it up and he can write for it all the time. So it's the ball is already moving, you know, they know how to do it.
Well, Paul Reiser, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Comedian Paul Reiser, he stars in the new series Mad About You, which airs Wednesday nights on NBC. This is Fresh Air.